I'm Allison Katzkowski, otherwise known as the Allison K. I'm a fitness innovator and entrepreneur turned business mentor and retreat master. A client experience is more than just making the sale or the transaction. A client experience is about how it's put together so that clients can receive amazing real transformation. Here you'll hear all about how the industry leaders are creating amazing experiences. I'm always going to give it to you straight because I know your time is valuable. Are you ready? Let's get into the show. Hey everybody, it's Allison Katzkowski. Thank you for joining me again today for another edition of Creating the World's Best Client Experiences. I am super excited as always to be here as your host. And one of the reasons, well, one of the many reasons that I love doing this show is because I get to talk to so many amazing people, not just about their business and what they're creating, but how they're positioning what it is that they do as a client experience. Because we want to talk about client experiences as being more than just a transaction, more than just signing up for another program, more than just from the numbers perspective. Obviously, as business owners, sales are key, but client experiences are much more than just making the sale or getting the sale. So, and this is one of the reasons why we do this show. So I'm super excited to be here with you. It's a brand new year. It's 2024. And I know that whatever you're creating in your business, you've got lofty goals, you've got lofty dreams, and I want to always make sure that we highlight the very best of client experiences in this space. Today, I'm talking to Kelsey Silver, who is coming to us from Long Island. She is an operational strategist and has over a decade of operational experience. She's worked for other people, but now she's actually building her own business, though, the classic entrepreneurial journey. So, Kelsey, thank you so much for joining me today.
Allison, thank you so much for having me here. I'm so excited to talk to everyone.
Yay. So please introduce yourself if you would.
Sure, absolutely. So what I know to be true is that there are three times more neurodivergent entrepreneurs in the entrepreneur landscape than there are represented in the typical population. And why that is our brains are naturally wired to be entrepreneurs, to be bosses and leaders and speakers. But unfortunately, a lot of the information out there is built for neurotypical brains. And so I'm on a mission, really, to take my decade of executive operational experience, my background as a licensed therapist, and my certification as an MIT-trained data analyst, and help other neurodivergent entrepreneurs build a business that works with their brain instead of against it, instead of trying to constantly bully themselves into using these systems that don't work for them. I help them build systems that actually make sense to their brain.
Okay, love that. So if you don't mind, though, I'd love for you just to explain if somebody refers to themselves as a neurodivergent, what exactly does that mean?
Sure, absolutely. So the term neurodivergent was actually coined way back in the 80s, and it's a massive umbrella term that has taken its twists and turns and is now sort of a very trendy phrase, especially if you're in the TikTok space. But neurodivergent as a term, it really means wired differently. And so what that means is that you have the standard population that we would, heavy air quotes, call normal, and that's neurotypical. And so that is the way that the brain normally develops, blah, 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 right? That's the majority of humans out in the world. Mm-hmm. And then you have people who are wired differently. Now, that could be wired differently from birth, like me with my ADHD and several other flavors of neurospicy, as I call it, or my daughter, who is likely on the same aspect, or you could have people who are autistic, who are bipolar, who are schizophrenic, because all of those things actually do fall under the neurodivergent umbrella, which most people think ADHD and autism, that's it. It's actually a significant umbrella. Yeah, yeah. So, but you can also have wired differently because of circumstances. So CPTSD and regular PTSD, both of those actually fall under neurodivergent. Traumatic brain injuries fall under neurodivergent. So it's this very significant phrase that applies to a lot more people than you might realize. And what's unfortunate is, like with any other disability, it's looked at very specifically as just a thing to overcome instead of something that that's simply who we are. And so by creating systems that support us, that work through us, again, just like any other disability, we can create businesses that are just as, if not more effective than a neurotypical entrepreneur.
Interesting. So then is it accurate then to say that a neurodivergent entrepreneur likely probably has multiple conditions that kind of cause their brain to be wired different? I mean, to use your examples, the ADHD, being on the spectrum, for example, even going so far as PTSD and, you know, possibly other mental health conditions. Is that an accurate way to say that?
Yeah. So when you look at neurodivergence as how it impacts your business, right? That can be very, very mild in terms of how you might identify as neurodivergent. Self-diagnosis is perfectly valid when it comes to what supports you need in place. So if you've ever thought, hey, I just don't do this like everyone else does, then that's a little bit of an indicator that you might want to look at. Is your brain wired differently? Because as you mentioned, in therapy, we call it comorbid disorders, right? But in reality, the neurodivergent population does have a lot of these comorbidities represented. So there you might have noticed that there's an increase in ADHD, which is the combination of autism and ADHD. That's been rising as well, because particularly in females, those who were born as female, to be very specific, the way that our brain chemistry is created, we present autism very differently, yeah, and than our male counterparts. Mm-hmm. And so when you look at all of these comorbid sort of disorders, you're like, oh, now it makes sense why these neurotypical solutions just have not been working, because you've got all of these different layers piled on top of each other. In addition, neurodivergent entrepreneurs are significantly more represented within the LGBTQIA population. We tend to overrepresent in physical disabilities as well. So there's just all of these different layers of marginalized communities that are represented. And a lot of the research hasn't been done through people of color, et cetera. So we're finally starting to scrape away some of that fog and get to the bottom of how represented we really are.
Yeah, there's a lot. I feel like there's a lot of emphasis. Well, I don't want to call it emphasis. That's probably not the right word. I feel like there's a lot of area for research around mm-hmm. this topic mm-hmm. and not just the male versus female. You know, what are the differences there, which I think is traditionally the lens that modern medicine wants to look at first.
Always.
You know, and I mean, obviously, I mean, I'm a master's level student. I did a thesis in grad school, and we looked at a lot of the male versus female first before we even, now this was a long time ago, obviously, mm-hmm. and things have, you know, big time changed since then. But I guess my point is that I love your thought and your not only call it a revelation, but your suggestion that maybe the net needs to be extended further and to look at, say, people of color, people of mm-hmm. different, you know, ethnic races, and just see what are the common parts and pieces here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So before we get into talking about business stuff, talk to me a little bit about what you think. I mean, obviously you're a business, you're building your own business, so you can mm-hmm. speak to this from your experience, but I know you work with a lot of entrepreneurs who are very similar to do things the way that you do. What are some of the big challenges and problems that you see in how they go about not just building a business, but delivering a client experience?
Absolutely. So I'll start with the foundation, right? For a lot of neurodivergent entrepreneurs, including myself, I'm a serial entrepreneur. I've had three to five at this point. We build businesses, and this is obviously an overgeneralization, but to get the point across, we build businesses like you build stilts houses. So I grew up in Louisiana where there's hurricanes. And so all the houses are built on stilts. And unlike the houses built on stilts, we built them on maybe matchsticks. And so We had these beautiful second and third floors where we've got this business that's carrying us through and great, but the second a storm comes through, all the matchsticks underneath us get swept out. And it's because we don't have a foundational system that works for us. We've built it on, you know, duct tape and matchsticks, trying to piece it together with all the information out there that just doesn't work with our brain. So despite the fact of outwardly appearing as though we have a really effective business, we don't have a foundation that can support us through difficulty. That's probably the primary challenge that I see. But the secondary challenge I see is that neurodivergent individuals are particularly hard on themselves, as are pretty much any marginalized or minority population, right? In the sense that we've grown up pre-programmed to assume it's our fault. And, yeah. You know, I fall very, very clearly into the high achieving good girl syndrome sort of situation, right? In the sense that if I got anything less than an A+ on a test, oh goodness. And, you know, I have failed, and that I had to be very careful in building my business in such a way that I did not allow myself to fall back into those same traps that I had in my corporate career. And when you're in corporate, those schemas keep those thought processes, they keep being reinforced, right? Because we can only get a promotion if we don't fail. If you fail, you're going to lose your job. If you don't do this right, you're going to be seen as less than, all these different things. We have to overperform. And it's so easy when we begin an entrepreneurial journey to fall into those same traps, to continue being the overachiever, to continue sacrificing ourselves and our own self-care in exchange for I must perform.
Yeah, I can totally see the angle with the overachieving. I'll just do a little bit more over here to make up for that, right? I'll just put in the extra time because I know I'm capable. And then that kind of starts a story where you're like, okay, I'm not going to get this done unless I do it this particular way over here.
Exactly. And I'll be truthful. One of my favorite therapeutic methods when I was still a therapist was narrative therapy, and it's rewriting stories. And so you're spot on when you say, what's the story our brain is creating for ourselves? And so one thing that we also have to think about is we're neurodivergent or we're otherwise disabled. Should I charge less? Should I charge more?
Yeah.
So I personally, right, not only am I raising a toddler, I have my corporate career. I'm building my business. I am, you know, there are times when I might not be able to hit a very short deadline. Mm-hmm. But should I charge less for that? Should I, you know, other than obviously communicating.
What that does is that starts to create a story around the value of your work.
Precisely.
And as you know, that once we create that story, then that narrative kind of bleeds into other aspects of our lives, right? Like how we show up in our relationships, how we value other things in our life. You know, that it's so interesting how, you know, as business owners, you know, the value of what we do, like when we have a money story, for example, mm-hmm. or when we have, we're resistant to raising rates or having our rates reflect, you know, the service and the transformation that we provide, that always shows up in other aspects of our life.
Exactly. And how much harder is it to sell when we don't think we're worth selling?
Yeah, absolutely. Very good question. And I think even for people listening who aren't business owners, I think that's something to really take a good hard look at.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit more now about your business. So you've done this work for other people. You've, you know, like you call yourself a serial entrepreneur. Those are your words. Yes. You've, you know, built multiple businesses, but now the business that you're building is really all about serving the neurodivergent entrepreneur. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yeah, okay. Absolutely. Go ahead. Sorry.
So tell me a little bit then about the actual services that you offer.
Yeah, perfect. So I specifically focus on building out that first floor of your business. So I work primarily with what I call messy middle entrepreneurs. That's sort of basic online business jargon anyway. So I think most people can probably, oh yeah, that's me. So this messy middle of you've started working with clients, you've started your business, and I don't just work with coaches and things like that. I work with all levels of online business. And it's this messy, I don't know how to scale. I'm not sure how to take the next step. I get a stomach ache the second I think about bringing on someone, because then how the heck am I going to get them to think like me and all of that stuff. And I help them work through what I call my fellowship method, right? Which is what's the neurodivergent superpower that you hold? How is your brain wiring actually the genius behind your business? And then how can we build technology and team around you to support you, to create that stable first floor so that you can keep decking out that mansion on top. And we go...
No, go ahead. I'm just listening.
Yeah. So we go through this process of really focusing on self and understanding your brain's unique wiring, where that sort of special spicy sauce, because my business is called the NeuroSpicy CEO. Uh-huh. I'm a cook. I love that. And so we talk about blending all these flavors of your neurodivergence into something that's actually the amazing uniqueness behind your business. But again, it's all about building your support. So I'm a huge Lord of the Rings fan. My daughter's named after Lord of the Rings. So there's, you know, you're going to build your team, which can include technology. I always think technology is part of your payroll. It's not a bill. And your actual human team around you so that they can support you. They're your second brain. They're all of the different automations and supports. And so for the first time in my business, I applied what I've been applying to my corporate career. You know, the thing that you teach others how to do is always the thing hardest to do for yourself. Absolutely. So I took all of the knowledge of being an operational executive at a corporate level, running a, you know, helping run a $20 million a year organization, and said, wait a minute, maybe I should actually do this for myself. And yep. So this round of business, I went ahead and applied those lessons that I've been doing, managing a team of, you know, five people at my corporate job for ages. And I said, oh, whoops, maybe I should do this for my own business. And so I was able to build a business literally during my daughter's naps. Mm-hmm. So I'm working maybe 10 hours a week. I refuse to work when she is awake. I refuse to work when we're going on, I wanted to build a business where I could drop everything and spend time with her.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And
I think in the American culture in general, I think, you know, we prioritize, maybe prioritize isn't the right word, but we, you know, wear like the 60-hour work week as a badge of honor, you know, like, look at me, look what I've created kind of thing. When really, to your point, you know, and this isn't just for, you know, the neurodivergent population, but I think this is a lesson for, you know, anyone in business, that your business should reflect what's important to you. Because if you're not building a business based on your core values and your mission and all of that, I mean, yes, we're in business to make money. Yes, we're in business to, you know, create a legacy. Maybe it's retirement. Maybe it's something else. But, you know, we don't want to overlook, you know, what our purpose and our why is. And for, you know, the majority of people deep down, it is about their values, but maybe it's just misrepresented.
Exactly. I spent over a decade being a workaholic. I refuse to be a workaholic in my own business.
Yeah. Well, you know what they say though, you know, you're never going to work harder until you work for yourself.
So true. So true.
You're our own worst critic. And I put myself in that category too.
Exactly. But it's the key is around having the systems that allow you to work harder without it being a burden to your values.
Yeah. Love that. Yeah. Love that. Key is to have the system. Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit then about what are some typical operational roadblocks that you run into in your work? As far as like what you help your clients with, because I love how you had the awareness where you said, I'm doing this for other people. I'm helping other people, you know, manage technology as a piece of the payroll, to use your words, or, mm-hmm. you know, to make sure we hire the right team and all of that. And then you're like, wait a minute, if I'm going to do this as a business, then I better practice what I preach. I better walk my walk as well as talk my talk, right? So exactly. you put yourself through the system that you actually teach. So what are some of the typical roadblocks that you help other entrepreneurs work through, other than just the system piece? Because I know that we've mentioned that a couple of times.
Absolutely. So when it comes to identifying a roadblock, they're as varied as the different flavors of neurodivergence. And this, what we're going to talk about applies to even if you don't identify as neurodivergent. But really the first thing is, where are your gaps? And I know that sounds very vague. So let's dig into it a second. What is the thing that causes you the most pain in your business that you wake up and dread having to do and doesn't feed your soul, doesn't feed that thing? And when you sit down and think about it, as long as you're not saying, well, I have to do that because I love it, or I have to do that because I'm perfect at it, or amazing at. Then you shouldn't be doing it. Mm-hmm. So things that are really just perfectly in your zone are things that light you up. Those are your golden tasks. I call those your golden tasks. And those are the things you're going to hold on to like they're gold. You're going to hoard them like you're a dragon. Because those are things that keep you motivated and locked into your business. Everything else can either be eliminated, automated, or delegated. So top roadblocks, consistently posting on social media. Consistency is like a no-no word in my business, which because neurodivergent brains aren't consistent, they're constantly in flux. And so you build consistency into your technology or your team. Because likely 9 times out of 10, you're not going to be consistent. So let's automate that. Let's make it consistent without you having to try to be consistent. Yeah. So consistently posting on social media is a huge roadblock. Onboarding, interestingly enough, onboarding clients effectively. That kind of plays into the consistency piece, but that's a huge one. And again, talking client experience, your onboarding has to be on point.
It does.
But if it's not, if it's wonky because you don't have automations in place, because you don't have support structures in place, then you're not only are you going to struggle keeping loyal clients, you're going to, word of mouth isn't going to be so great. And so you're not going to struggle to get new ones. So we always talk about in my business, with my clients, I talk about lifetime value of a client, right? Because I know from corporate experience, bringing on someone new is always more expensive than keeping the people you have.
Absolutely. Could not agree more.
Yeah. And so we talk a lot about onboarding. Onboarding is a huge roadblock. And then I know we've talked systems, but I'm going to get real specific and say SOPs.
Yeah.
Because decision fatigue is one of the biggest roadblocks that my clients face. And it's because you've only got so many marbles in your vase. And every single time you have to make a decision, you're taking out marbles. The bigger the decision, the more marbles you have to take out.
And to your point, decision fatigue is a very real thing. I think it's something that kind of gets poo-pooed a little bit and kind of laughed at, but it's, you know, some of the most successful people that I know that have scaled their business, that have, you know, built the business out so that it really reflects what's important to them. You know, they recognize what they're really good at and what they should be spending their time doing. And just because you're good at doing something doesn't mean you need to be doing it.
Exactly.
So I love that.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, why do you think people who have morning routines, who meal plan, who have the same exercise routine they do consistently? That's why consistency, the word, is so prevalent everywhere. It's because you're reducing the number of decisions. But you have to do it a little bit differently when your brain is wired differently, but it's still the same end result. You're reducing the number of decisions you have to do during a day to make sure that you're focusing your time and energy on the things that actually matter.
Yeah. Yeah. Love that. So in your business now, I know you have several ways that people can work with you. I know you have a low ticket offer. You do some private work, but you also do some group work. So why don't you tell us about those?
Yeah, absolutely. So I have like I said, MIT trained data analyst, so numbers are my jam, spreadsheets are my thing. So I have a lot of offers that are Airtable databases and strategy walkthroughs and some really cool stuff there. I even have a freebie for walking through finding your biggest roadblock and fixing it. But a lot of these offers are for those very beginning entrepreneurs that just need that little jump. Uh-huh. And so I have a strategy map. That's like a choose your own adventure. We also talk about a big Airtable spreadsheet that walks you through exactly how to price your offers, what kind of feedback and research you've done, tracks your revenue, et cetera. And just last year, I launched my Build Your Fellowship program, which is my little baby. And it is a sort of hybrid group program course where we walk through building that first floor of your business. We use my fellowship method of technology, team, and talent being you, the CEO, that visionary piece, and how we weave it all together to create a really solid foundation for your business, and how you bring technology onto your payroll before you even think about bringing team onto your payroll. But when you're ready to take that step into scalability and bringing on team, we really talk about what does the hiring process look like for neurodivergent entrepreneurs? What does management look like for neurodivergent entrepreneurs? Because we typically have a very different leadership and management style. We're very well suited for it, which might be counterintuitive because we tend to not be able to manage ourselves particularly well. But if we join with our team members and our technology in a real way and following this method, we can get to an amazing team structure that's supportive of both ourselves, but also our team members, which is incredibly important. And then I do one-on-one work on VIP days. I have three different ones, kind of models the way my course is built. So I do a full tech audit and get your tech stack in place and really make sure that your technology is honing in on exactly what you need and where your gaps are. We talk, I have a VIP day around talent where we really dig into your specific special sauce, your golden tasks, and we create your strategy, because I hate the word plan. We go with a strategy, not a plan. It's like having bumpers on a bowling lane instead of trying to find the perfect form. And then I also have a team member VIP day where we talk through your next hiring decision, really get you laid out with a job description.
It's like a all day deep dive for just one person, or do you do that with a group?
I do it with just one person. So my VIP days are just one person. The group function that I have is the Build Your Fellowship program. The reason VIP days work really well for neurodivergent entrepreneurs is when we have something to focus in on, where we can have a conversation, where we can dive into the specifics. I kind of take advantage of our tendency to hyperfixate, and it works. I found it works significantly better than a longer term coaching engagement.
Yeah, no, and I like that. And I think for what we've been talking about, I think that is a very natural, authentic way for you to do what you do in a client experience. I think it's very high touch. It's very specific. You're able to really niche, I don't want to use the word niche down in the traditional sense, but you know what I'm talking about. You can really go deep on what that problem is. You know, on what that moving that big rock is and what it looks like. So I think that's a perfectly natural type of client experience that you can offer.
Thank you.
So I'm thrilled to announce that I'm partnering with a brand new product, and it's called Celevate. This is an amazing, tasty, gummy supplement, and it comes in two varieties. One designed to help you with inflammation and recovery, perfect for after a workout, or if you've had like several days in a row where you've really pushed it and you're really starting to feel it in your body, this is the perfect addition to a regular routine. The other formula helps address focus and memory, which, let's be honest, I think we can all use a little help there, right? What's different about Celevate is that not only does it taste great, but it has amazing antioxidant power. So many vitamins and supplements on the market today, you either have to take several in a single day to even see any kind of tangible result, or most of the time, a lot of them don't even give you the result that they promise. And Celevate checks both boxes. I take one of each formula every day. And what's more is that they pack and travel really well. So you can take some and put them in a Ziploc bag and throw it in your bag when you're going out of town, and they won't melt. And it just is the perfect addition to whatever it is that you're doing every day in the way of vitamins and supplements and whatever else works for you. So I knew that I had to get in here and at least tell you about it. I would love it if you would head over to their site and give it a try. I'm actually going to offer you a really special deal. You can find this amazing product at their website, and that's spelled Celevate.com, which is CELLEV8.com. And use my special promo code, the Allison K 2024, and you can save 15% off. I would love to know what you think once you have a chance to try this. So what are some of them, would you say, and I know, I mean, I'm not asking you to reveal names or any confidentiality, but what are some of the challenges that you faced? I know we've talked a lot about the general challenges that neurodivergents have, and you've shared a lot about your story and your own journey, but I'm just wondering if there are any particular, you know, challenges from working with clients that are kind of popping up that you could kind of highlight as an example.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll give you my biggest one. And it's almost ties in perfectly with what you just mentioned around VIP days. I started with coaching engagements.
Okay.
And it did not work well. because with coaching engagements, when you get two neurodivergent people in the room, it either goes really, really wide or really, really deep. And when the tendency to get squirrely and shiny object syndrome kicks in, especially with a coaching engagement that's, you know, 3 to 6 months, you get scope creep. And for those who aren't in sort of a project management world, scope creep is when you get outside of what you were originally meant to do. And that was happening a lot. And it was very draining on both myself, my clients. We wouldn't accomplish what we originally set out to do, but we did accomplish a lot. So it wasn't like it was wasted time, but it was this doesn't feel right. We got stuff done, but it wasn't what we meant to do. And it didn't feel authentic. It didn't feel fulfilling.
Yeah.
And so that the biggest pivot I made in my business was switching to VIP days. It worked better for me anyway, because I could make sure that I had the time dedicated to really focus on a client instead of trying to shove it in between different, you know, hours that my daughter was napping and things like that. I could set aside the time. I could ensure I had childcare. And then also it served my clients much, much more appropriately because they were able to accomplish.
And I just find it really refreshing and interesting that you're, you know, positioning really the changes that you've made in your own business as challenges, because by us talking about our own challenges more, I think not only does that help potential clients relate to us better, but, you know, a lot of people that we serve are really many versions of ourselves, right? They're many versions of how we used to be. And so by you talking openly about, you know, I realized this wasn't working and this is why it wasn't working, you know, I think that's something that's really missing right now in the coaching industry. I think there's a lot of people out there that are trying to do, you know, solve too many problems. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of copycatitis, as I call it, out there. and I just think for you to say, you know what, I did this and it didn't go very well, and this is what I decided to do about it, I think that's really, really, really important. I wish a lot of other people did that. So I commend you for that.
I appreciate that. I'm what I call a chronic oversharer. So I believe very much in transparency in my business. So I, even in one of my emails, I always do like a Friday wrap up. In one of my emails I sent out, oh, I tried this thing and man, did it not work. And I talked about, I did a debrief. I do very public debriefs of launches, things like that.
That's because really important, because I think a lot of people in business need to see that, you know, those of us that are building a business and are successful doing it, you know, and social media hasn't helped with this.
No, it
hasn't. There's too much focus on everything that goes right. And what so many people in business need to understand, especially the newer entrepreneurs and people who are just starting out, is that it's not all puppies and rainbows and flowers, you know?
And no overnight success is actually overnight.
Right. And there's a lot of things that don't go well. I mean, I've created lots of things that just haven't gone well at all. But my general philosophy around that is that there's really no failing, because there's no way we would learn unless we just try it, right?
Exactly. I even have a masterclass called Fail Fast, Fail Often to maximize your revenue, because it's true. It's about just when you have an idea, execute.
Yeah.
Because why not?
Yeah.
And well, there's a lot of mind work that happens to get there, not in shape.
Yeah. And then look, it's not just something that, I created this and it totally like bombed. I mean, nobody bought it. You know, I've created things where I've had nobody buy either. And, you know, we have to do the work on ourselves too and say, okay, this isn't about me, right? It's hard not to take it personal when it's your baby. But it's like, okay, so maybe there was something wrong with the offer. Maybe it wasn't delivered in the right way. Maybe the price was off. Maybe the time commitment was off. You know, there's always a reason why things don't work, just like there's a reason why things do work. Yeah. And we have to get what, as a colleague of mine calls it, we have to stay clinical. You know, we have to stay, kind of keep that lens on and say, these are the problems. This is what went right, but this is what not, you know, didn't go as well as what we wanted to over here. And we have to really look at that, you know, with both eyes wide open.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's why debriefs are so important.
Yeah. Could not agree more. So what are some of the wins then that you've been able to help some of your clients with?
Absolutely. So one of the biggest things is getting SOPs in place. Well, I have a three-stage SOP process. So one of my clients was able to sort of get all their SOPs in place where there's based on their energy level. So there's the little reminders SOP. Then there's the more laid out SOP for when you're kind of in that middle of energy. And then there's the every single step you could possibly need SOP so that when you have absolutely no energy, but still have to do the thing, everything's laid out and you don't even have to think. And so by getting her to that place, she was able to bring on a VA and literally hand these templates over to this VA. And she didn't have to train. So it got rid of that stomach ache anxiety of, oh my goodness, how am I going to get them to do everything the way I need them to do it? Well, she had already done everything. We created all those SOPs based on her practice. She had the training already done. So she was able to bring on a VA and I think she almost doubled her income the next month because she was able to focus on those golden tasks.
And how many people go and hire a VA or an executive assistant or, you know, somebody on a team? And then it's kind of, you know, backwards, you know, the exactly. process is backwards. So, right. so
I or they have that. To train themselves or, you know, which is not going to keep them around for long.
Right.
And then the other one, I'm thinking of all of these people that I'm so proud of. And another one that's really great is just getting a process in place to start promoting mm-hmm. yourself and be getting visible. Things like promoting to podcasts, promoting to bundles and summits. And really what was missing was the foundation. A lot of my clients get stuck at the, okay, but how? Mm-hmm. So we can sit down at a strategy call. We can say, you know, oh, we really need to get you more visible. We need to get more eyes on your sales page, right? And well, that's kind of the basic business jargon that's all over social media. Get more eyes on your page, do lead generation, participate in bundles. Okay, but how? And for neurodivergent individuals, we need the how. We can't necessarily get to the decision-making process to get to the how. And so we walk through the how. Well, do you have your bio ready? How are you going to pick the podcasts that vibe with you? What's the actual template you're going to use to pitch to this? And we laid out all of the steps, used this great free tool called Goblin Tools, because, you know, we're all little goblins. And it helps you, divide out a bigger task into lots of subtasks. And if a subtask is still too big, you can divide it out further. And we said, okay, here are the teensy tiny little 15-minute tasks that need to get done before you pitch your first podcast. Oh, and by the way, we wrote a pitching SOP while we were doing that. So by the end of the process, not only did she have a step-by-step how to pitch to all of her podcasts, but she had a complimentary SOP that she could hand off to the VA she'd hired years ago that, you know, was trying to help her out, and the VA could take it over.
Yeah.
And so those are two that I'm really particularly proud of.
No, I love that because I just feel like, you know, a lot of people look for themselves in when we start talking about the work that we do with people. Mm-hmm. I think we could talk about what we do all day long, you know, the who, what, when, how, the whole thing, right? But I think when we start really sharing the specifics about, you know, with Sue over here, we helped put an SOP into place so that she knew exactly the right people, you know, are supposed to go into which roles. And then we're helping Sharon over here with, you know, with the technology piece and we're identifying we have to really get specific when it comes to that because, you know, I think it's easy to forget that people out there listening, they look for themselves in our client success stories too.
Yeah. And that's why it's so good to have a varied, even in your testimonials, in like all of my products, even my freebies, they have surveys behind them because I need information from all the different aspects and particularly dealing with neurodivergent individuals, all the different flavors of NeuroSpicy. Because someone who's autistic going to my website is going to need information very differently than someone who has PTSD or has childhood trauma that they're working through. And that's why their brain thinks differently. So having that extra information around my clients, around how they interacted with my work and around how that work impacted them, it just makes it that much more robust.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally agree. So what do you say to the business owner out there? You know, or even for somebody out there who's maybe thinking, you know what, I'm kind of recognizing that I do things a little bit different. Mm-hmm. Maybe that person isn't quite sure where to begin. And short of reaching out to you, what are some of your best tips, pieces of advice actionable strategies. What are some bite-sized things that you can offer my audience today?
Absolutely. So self-diagnosis is always valid when it comes to structuring your business. So what I always say when someone is just first dabbling into I'm wired a little differently is, okay, what does that really mean for you? What systems or processes have you put in place that just don't feel good, that feel like they're more effort, that feel like, I swear this could be easier? If you're saying that to yourself, then it's probably because the system you've put in place doesn't work for your brain. It works against it. And so think about a moment when it did work. Think about an opportunity when things felt easier, when things felt like they made sense, or when that process took you less time than it ever had before. When that happened, you have identified the system that actually worked with your brain. So name a couple of times like that and then see where the pattern is. Mm-hmm. What was it because you used a particular software that just feels so easy to you that you didn't have to think about learning something new? Was it when you externally processed to people in a mastermind or to friends and other trusted individuals and you just needed that extra external processing piece? Mm-hmm. And take those patterns that you see and build them into your business and just start small. Start with one tiny business process. So start with something that just feels, you get that sense in your gut that this is just too hard. It's just harder than it's supposed to be. And start there and just change one little thing at a time.
Well, and I like how you mentioned, look for evidence of what has worked for you before. Yeah. Call that borrowing belief from something else. And, you know, because I've built my business in the health and fitness industry, this is a really, you know, this is something that I encounter and, you know, every time I work with a new client, it's, you know, well, what have you done that's worked before? What have you done over here in this other part of your life that's worked? And we want to get behind the belief system that goes with the action steps that will get us to where we want to be. So that's very similar to what you're talking about.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Borrow those thoughts and borrow those processes.
Yeah. Yeah. Love that. So where can people connect with you, Kelsey?
Absolutely. So best way to message me directly, have a conversation is my Instagram. It's Kelsey E. Silver. And, but you can also, I would always love to have more people join my Facebook group. It's NeuroSpicy CEOs. But if you want to learn specifically about me and the work that I do, it's KelseySilver.com.
Okay. So website is KelseySilver. No Kelsey E. Silver, just Kelsey. Nope. Kelsey Silver.
Yep. KelseySilver.com.
And your Facebook group again?
NeuroSpicy CEOs.
Okay. And of course, your Instagram, which is Kelsey E. Silver.
That's correct. Yeah, Kelsey Silver took it first.
Fantastic. Awesome.
Thank you. I can give you all those links for your audience.
No, it's all right. Yeah, we have all of those in the show notes. So anybody listening that wants to connect with you, they can definitely find that. Thank you so much for making time to talk with me today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Allison. This was a fantastic conversation. Thanks.
Absolutely. So folks out there listening, if what we have been talking about is really resonating with you or landing with you, or if you're sensing that maybe this conversation is really speaking to you very clearly, I would really encourage you to reach out to Kelsey. You can find all of her links in the show notes, her Instagram, her Facebook group, and her website. These are conversations that need to be had and need to be had often. And while I don't consider myself a neurodivergent entrepreneur, I know a lot of people who are, and I know a lot of people listening are. So I would really encourage you to lean into that awareness and stop thinking that it's your fault. Stop thinking that, you know, this is the way that you're doing things can't change, that the way that you're doing things in your business can't be modified to fit you better. We're in business as entrepreneurs, because we are pursuing our passion. You know, we're doing it not just to make money and to, you know, create impact in the world, but we want to create the life that we want to. And that's one of the reasons why I created this show and why I'm so grateful for each and every one of you that tune in every week and listen and subscribe and download and share episodes with friends. And if this episode you think would be helpful for a friend or business colleague, please feel free to copy the link and send it to them as a gift from me. Or if you'd like, you can connect with me on my site, www.theallisonk.com, and we will do it for you. Either someone on my team will be glad to share it with whomever you would like to hear, or I will do it for you. So you can always connect with me. I read all of my emails. I don't have anyone on my team farming that out. I always want you to feel like my door is open. If you have a suggestion, if you have some feedback, if you're feeling so moved to write us a review, we appreciate all of it. Because this is how we have been able to grow and consistently rank high in all of the search engines. And it's because of you. And just know that every single day, I'm grateful for every single one of you, whether you're listening, you know, here in the United States or whether you're halfway across the globe. We love all of our listeners. This is Allison Katzkowski. That's what I got for you today on the podcast, folks. We will see you on the next episode. Bye.